I.E. Demon by Dan Wells.
They called it the BSC 7, but they didn't tell us what it stood for. We were just the EOD team, after all, and they were the engineers. They created the technology, and we had to test it. And that was fine. That was the way it had been since I'd been stationed in Afghanistan 6 months earlier, and that was the way it had been for years, for centuries, before that.
What kind of test do you want?
The BSE-7 is an explosives nullification device. We've installed it in a JIRV, and we need you to drive it through hostile territory and see if it works.
See if it works?
If nothing blows up, it works. We'll follow you with the best detection equipment we have to see if we can find anything the BSE-7 nullifies.
And how exactly does it nullify IEDs?
I'm afraid you're not cleared for that information.
I got in the JIRV and headed out into the desert with my driver and my gunner. We weren't cleared to know what we were driving, but we were cleared to drive it through Taliban Central, hoping somebody tried to blow us up. The glamorous life of a soldier. We were stationed in a firebase in what we called the Brambles. Not only some of the worst terrain in Afghanistan, but famous for having the most IEDs per square mile of any region in the field of operations. I figured I'd be proud of that fact someday if I lived long enough to brag about it in a bar, but for now, it was a dubious accolade at best, especially when it attracted the attentions of contractors trying to field test their latest brain fart. It was far too dangerous to go outside the wire alone, so we joined a convoy. Well, joined. 7 MRAPs loaded for bear were heading north on a recon mission, and we were following on a nearby road. Shorter, but more likely to have IEDs. My team drove the modified JIRV, and the engineers followed behind in an MRAP of their own. If we got into any serious trouble, the convoy could reach us, theoretically, in just a few minutes. I hate relying on theoretically. The first IED turned up about an hour north of our firebase. We didn't notice anything, but the minesweeper behind us called an all-stop because their detectors had turned up a broken one. Not so much broken, once we looked at it, as it was just built wrong from the beginning. Most IEDs are simple. Two planks of wood separated by foam with contact plates made of scrap metal, and an old lamp cord leading to a big yellow bucket of explosive. This was one of the most poorly put together I'd ever seen. It looked like a broken clock in a Bugs Bunny cartoon, with wires and bits hanging off it in all directions. I told the two engineers I was sorry we hadn't found a real IED to test their device on, but they seemed just as excited with the broken one as you could possibly imagine. Like it was the most thrilling damn thing dug out of the desert since King Tut. I rolled my eyes. Me and my crew drove on through the brambles for about 20 more minutes before the engineers called another all-stop. We stood looking at the new find.
Useless.
I examined the new IED we'd driven over.
Better than the last one, but still hopelessly broken. The cord isn't even connected to anything.
This is wonderful.
Two IEDs inside half an hour. There's active insurgents in the area, no question.
Grossly incompetent insurgents.
The speaker was my driver.
They only have to get lucky once.
The engineers insisted we keep going, and my orders were to follow their orders, so I did. The third IED was only 15 minutes down the road, and when I got out to examine it, I didn't like what I saw.
This one was live. We drove right over it, and it could have gone off, and as far as I can tell, it should have gone off, but it didn't. I can't explain it.
Hey, the insurgents' bomb guy's getting better.
Or our bomb nullifier is getting worse. The BSE-7 is what's doing this, right? Whatever your little device is, it breaks the IEDs before they go off?
Correct.
But it's not necessarily getting weaker.
He might be calibrating his power output to a sustainable level. He doesn't need to destroy them like he did with the first two, just stop them like he did with this one.
Ooh. He?
It. I misspoke.
The lead engineer smiled, and the other engineer smiled, and I looked at my driver, and I could tell he felt just as nervous as I did. I glanced at my gunner, perched in the turret and looking for trouble, and he gave me a thumbs up. No Taliban in sight. I looked back at the engineers.
So, what happens on the next one?
Is it calibrating its energy or running out of it?
We won't know until we get more data.
Another IED.
Correct.
Which will either break, like these did, or blow up my JIRV.
Correct, but it's up-armored, so you should be fine. None of these bombs we've examined has been big enough to kill you.
I had a lot less faith in the armor than they did, and a lot more faith in the armor than in the BSE-7. But orders were orders. I shrugged my shoulders and shook my driver's hand.
Alpha Mike Foxtrot, it's been nice to know you.
The fourth IED exploded. It wasn't a big explosion. It didn't tear the JIRV in half, so the armor did its job. But it flipped us upside down off the side of the road. My gunner managed to duck down into the turret before the roll crushed him. And we were rattled and bruised, but alive. And thanks to endless days of crash drills, we managed to get all three of us out of the vehicle in just a few seconds. We came up just in time to see a wrinkly green three-year-old beating the living hell out of the engineer's truck. And I want to be as clear as possible about this, so there's no misunderstanding. When I say the living hell, I mean the living, breathing, ever-loving hell. He was remarkably spry, that three-year-old, naked as can be, and jumping around that truck like he was on springs. And everywhere he touched it, the truck fell apart. Not just fell apart, burst apart. Two quick leaps took him from the ground to the fender to the top of the grill, and the fender fell off before his toes even touched down on the hood. He reached out with one hand and grabbed the headlight, and somehow both headlights exploded. Not just the one he touched, but both of them simultaneously. The latch on the hood failed suddenly, spectacularly, launching the little green something in the air, while below him, the now exposed engine erupted in a modern dance exhibition of bursting caps and hoses, each cylinder and compartment blowing off more steam than they could possibly have been holding. The windshield cracked as the green thing sailed over it, and all I could see inside were the two engineers digging through their packs like madmen, their faces white with fear. My crew and I ran toward them, racing to help. And as I ran, I raised my rifle to fire at the little green thing dancing madly on the roof. The trigger fell off in my hand, and then the stock, and then the entire gun seemed to field strip itself in a cascade of oily gunmetal. The bullets spat and jumped on the ground like popcorn, their charges exploding impossibly in the dry dirt of the brambles. My driver reached the truck's door and yanked on the handle. I expected the handle to come off, but was surprised to see the entire door come flying off. My gunner tried the lead engineer's seatbelt, but it was jammed too tight to move. The little green man was still dancing maniacally. I tried to open the other door and pull the engineers to safety. The door didn't come off, just peeled away in long, corroded strips. But as scared as they were, they refused to leave without their bags.
Just get out!
Springs were bursting out of the seats like twisted daggers, sending puffs of upholstery wafting through the chaos like fat foam snowflakes.
We need MREs!
What?
Somehow, despite the crazy green weirdo destroying the truck, or maybe because of it, this was the last thing I'd ever expected them to say.
We need the MREs, it's the only way to stop it.
To stop the green guy?
He was chewing on the ceiling now, literally tearing into it with his teeth and ripping out chunks of metal.
Just help us!
You can look for them outside!
I hauled the engineers out by anything I could reach, shoulders and necks and arms, throwing the men in the dirt and tossing their heavy packs on the ground beside them. My belt came apart as I worked, the buckle bending nearly in half like someone was crushing it with invisible pliers, and the vehicle bucked wildly as the tires exploded. I went for my sidearm, drawing on the wrinkly green man at close range, but the rack slid off like it wasn't even attached.
This one caught shrapnel in his neck during that last burst.
My driver was looking at the second engineer, but the lead engineer drowned him out.
MREs! Find the MREs, as many as you can!
Yeah!
The engineer was already tearing open a plastic bag, dumping the interior pouches in the dirt, and fumbling for one in particular. I turned to the wounded engineer and found a twisted chunk of truck frame lodged in his neck. He was already dead.
We need to get out of here!
I found one!
The lead engineer tore open the smallest pouch from the MRE, the salt, and threw a pinch of the stuff at the wrinkly green thing. When the salt hit him, the green man leaped off the truck and scampered behind a boulder. I stared in surprise, my eyes wide. I still didn't know what was going on, but I didn't need another demonstration to convince me.
We need more salt! Find more MREs!
Soon, all of us were tearing open pouches of food, searching for the little packets of salt, and the engineer led us back to the flipped gerve.
Make a circle around the vehicle with the salt.
We had barely enough to complete a thin, scattered border before the wrinkly green thing charged us in a rage, brandishing a jagged tailpipe. He came within a few feet of the salt circle. He retreated again behind the boulder.
What in the bright blue hell is that thing?
It's a BSE, though it isn't really bound anymore, so it's just an SE. A supernatural entity, Lambda-class demon, minor manifestation.
Minor?
It's a gremlin. They destroy technology. Made them a bitch to study in the lab.
I had no idea what to think, and my mouth seemed incapable of forming any words beyond the first aborted syllables of sentences.
What?
The creature is the power source for the BSE-7, a bound supernatural entity. The 7 refers to a gremlin, maliciously eager to destroy anything technological it comes across.
And you strapped it to my truck?
It was bound. Its energies were directed like a shaped explosive. All the tech-breaking power is pointed out and down, so anything you drive over, like a landmine or an IED, gets broken before it can do anything to hurt you. It can't do anything to your own vehicle. Unless, obviously, the binding breaks and it gets loose.
That thing came after us. Unless one of you's a robot and didn't tell me, I don't think it limits its destruction to technological devices.
Case in point, your dead friend over there.
Now you understand why we needed to find the salt as quickly as possible. The salt will hold it, though, as long as nothing breaks the circle.
So we're safe here until the next stiff breeze, or until we starve to death, whichever comes first.
We got plenty of MREs.
I think I'd prefer to starve.
There's gotta be a way to kill it. Our guns fell apart, but the knife didn't. Maybe that's too simple a machine to be affected?
You can't kill a demon. Trust us on this one. You can only bind it.
Exactly what kind of engineer are you?
And we can't forget the Taliban. This is the 4th IED we've run across in the last hour. There's a group here, and they're active, and they're doing something they don't want anyone to see. And after all the noise our gremlin's been making, they're gonna know we're here.
Can we use the radio with that thing's anti-technology field ruining everything?
Anything inside the salt circle should work fine.
Get it working. Tell the convoy where we are and that we've been hit with an IED. Leave the weirder details vague.
My driver saluted and climbed in through the window of the overturned vehicle. I looked at the engineer.
Now, tell me everything you know about this gremlin.
The BSE-7 is intended for field use. We have a Dash 10 operator's manual already printed, though it's obviously just a prototype.
The engineer pulled a slim paper booklet from his backpack and handed it to me.
BSE-7 vehicle-mounted anti-explosive device. The BSE-7 is powered by a Lambda-class demon, commonly called Gremlin. It is designed to be mounted under... yada yada yada.
I skipped ahead, leafing past the usage sections to the 5th chapter. Maintenance.
If the device fails and the supernatural entity becomes unbound, it can be held at bay with salt, which we've done. Salt can be found in every MRE and should be easy to come by even in the field. Your first action should be to contain the demon in a circle of salt, as an unbound gremlin inside a base or camp can be surprisingly destructive.
I threw the manual down.
It says our first action should be to contain the demon, you idiot, not us!
The manual makes that sound a lot easier than it is.
They always do.
I picked up the booklet, found the same page again, and continued reading.
With the demon neutralized in a salt circle, report the malfunction immediately to your assigned demonologist.
We have an assigned demonologist?
They're still in training, with plans to deploy just before the BSEs go into general use. We'd never send a demon into the field without a trained demonologist to wrangle it.
Which means you wouldn't test it without one, either.
I looked at the corpse of the dead engineer.
Is that him?
The living engineer shrugged helplessly.
There's a chapter on troubleshooting.
I looked up at the gremlin, staring at us from behind the rock.
If it causes trouble, we shoot it.
I don't recommend it.
We have an RPG-7 in the JIRV. Took it off some Taliban last week.
I really don't recommend it. Any weapon you use against it will fail as soon as it leaves the salt circle. And I don't think I have to tell you what happens when a rocket-propelled grenade fails.
It's just a suggestion.
Chapter 6. Troubleshooting. If you have no access to a demonologist, your first priority is to reinforce the salt circle containing the demon, and requisition a new demonologist immediately.
Oh, thanks, that's very helpful.
If you absolutely must attempt to control the demon without a trained expert, there are some tricks that may be useful. 1. Gremlins love sugar. Seriously?
Absolutely love it.
2. The binding agent on the BSE-7, unless completely destroyed, can be used again, with the understanding that damaged binding agents are prone to unexpected catastrophic failure.
Take a picture of the truck. You can put the photo in the manual as a demonstration of unexpected catastrophic failure.
Did the radio work?
Well enough. The good news is the insurgents in this area won't be coming after us, because they're engaged in a firefight with our convoy.
And the bad news is that our convoy can't come get us because they're engaged in a firefight with the insurgents.
Exactamundo. And so far, they're losing, so they might not come get us at all. It is a very big group of insurgents.
I looked at the Jerv's blackened undercarriage.
So we're on our own, in enemy territory, under direct assault by a demon, and the only thing we can use to stop it is that thing.
I pointed at the shattered BSE-7, a charred lump that looked like a pie plate. It had been torn open, and the inside was full of something dark and sticky.
Smells sweet.
They like sugar.
So it is a pie plate. Smells like strawberry jam.
That grandma's almost 3 feet tall. He was crammed inside that tiny thing. There's no wonder he's pissed.
That goop, which, yes, probably contains strawberry jam, is an arcane demon-binding agent. Once he's bound into it, the physical space doesn't really matter. You could bind him into a teaspoon, and that's all the space you need. The majority of the BSE-7 is made up of the shaping agents that direct the gremlin's power away from the vehicle.
How do we get it back in?
The manual explains it in detail, but the basic gist is fire and blood.
That's horrible!
It's a demon. What did you expect?
What kind of grenades do we have for the captured RPG?
PG-2s. Old Soviet stuff.
You really don't want to shoot him.
Sure I do. Just not in the way you think.
I skimmed through the section on demon binding. It was far more gruesome than expected. I turned to the gunner.
Get me a grenade. Take off the casing.
I looked to the driver.
Get a fire going.
Last, I pointed at the engineer.
One of those MREs we dumped out looking for salt was spaghetti, which means that somewhere out there is a pouch full of cherry cobbler. Go get it.
Outside of the circle?
Unless you brought it with you, yeah.
But there's a gremlin out there.
There's your gremlin out there, so anything it does to you, you probably deserve. Don't be scared, though. I'm coming with you. I'll get the body, you get the cobbler.
Why do you need the body?
Have you read the demon binding manual?
Cobbler. Check.
I took a pinch of salt from the edge of the circle, careful not to break it completely.
On three. One, two, three!
We ran. Me for the dead man, and the engineer for the pile of scattered MRE pouches. The gremlin leaped toward the engineer. I threw the dead body into the circle and ran back toward the engineer. Still scrambling on his hands and knees for the cherry cobbler, I threw the salt at the gremlin, buying us a few precious seconds. And together, we found the pouch of cobbler and ran back to the Jerv. The engineer's shirt pocket was stained dark blue, and his pants and belt were singed.
All my pens broke.
And the burn marks?
My phone caught fire.
I tore open the cobbler pack, reached out past the salt, and placed it on the ground. The demon was furious that we'd gotten away a second time, but soon he paused and crept closer. He looked at the cobbler, then at the salt, then at us. He took another step. A few moments later, he was sitting by the open dessert pouch, his hands and face smeared with thick red syrup as he munched happily on the cherries.
It's the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen.
You got my grenade?
Here.
He handed me a PG-2, basically a metal tube with a short, stubby metal cone on the end. He'd removed the tapered end piece, exposing a cone of explosives inside. And I set that part down far away from the fire. The empty end piece I filled with binding agent from the BSE-7, scooping it out with the flat of my knife, and then I sat back, looking at the others.
This is going to get gross.
They nodded, eyes grim. I propped open the Demon's -10 manual with a rock and proceeded to perform unspeakably horrible acts on the body of the dead engineer.
Aw. That's just not right.
Oh, sweet mother of God!
I admit that I was pretty woozy as well once the ritual was over. From disgust rather than blood loss, since I only needed a couple of drops of my own. With the bloody symbols drawn on the sides of the grenade, and the end piece thoroughly smeared with newly reinforced binding goop, dear God, please let this work. Oh, and sorry about dabbling in the whole demonology thing. I tossed the end piece out past the salt and into the gremlin's half-finished cobbler.
The Dash 10 included a handy pronunciation guide for the incantation.
Hotensha! Dee! Cogently Gary!
The gremlin was sucked into the binding agent like a genie going into a bottle.
I take it back. That's the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen.
Reassemble the grenade. I handed him the gently smoking endpiece. He looked at it, then at the exposed explosives of the grenade, and shook his head.
You want me to attach a make-things-break demon to a high-explosive warhead? I'm not convinced that's the smartest thing either of us has ever done.
Just fit it on. This fresh, it'll hold for a couple of hours without any trouble.
What now?
Now we shoot him. The engineer frowned, confused, and I smiled.
Now we shoot him at the insurgents.
The Taliban were still attacking our convoy, and we were only about 5 clicks away. The gunner finished reassembling the grenade, and we packed as much gear as we could before moving back through the desert. The Afghanistan hills were steep and rocky under any circumstances, and even more so here in the brambles. Our travel was slow, but the engineer kept up more admirably than I expected. We made it to a low ridge after barely 20 minutes. We didn't have a perfect view of the battle, but we could tell the insurgents were winning. They had mortars, snipers, good cover, and higher ground than our guys, who were essentially pinned down behind the smoking wreckage of their vehicles. It was the biggest group of insurgents I'd ever seen, and there was no backup in sight. Well, none but us. I loaded the rocket-propelled gremlin in the launch tube and handed it to the gunner.
Don't worry about a target, just land the little bastard in the middle of their gun line and let him go to work.
The gunner judged the distance carefully, tested the wind, aimed high for extra range.
Alpha, Mike Foxtrot.
The grenade sailed over the valley, trailing smoke in a fierce, straight line, and exploded in a giant ball of fire against the back of a Taliban Jeep. One by one, we watched as the distant insurgents stopped firing forward and turned to look at their own battle line, at the clouds of dust and oil that flew up first in one place and then another. We were too far away to see the gremlin himself, but we could track his progress easily, watching as a truck fell to pieces, as a mounted machine gun sloughed parts like a crumbling cookie, as a mortar misfired and exploded on the ground. A few of the Taliban tried to fight it, but others simply ran in terror. Some toward us, and some toward our convoy. No longer pinned down by fire, our friendly forces caught them easily. We zip-tied their thumbs, frisked them for weapons, and started the slow walk around the frenzied gremlin toward our convoy.
There's enough machinery in that insurgent battle line to keep them busy for a week. You'd better get another demonologist in by then, because if I have to do another binding ritual, I'm using you for parts.
I'll put in a call the instant we get back to base.
Good. Now tell me something else. This gremlin was the BSE-7?
Correct.
So there are at least 6 other bound supernatural entities being developed for field use?
11, actually. How would you like to perform another test next week?